Hi everyone, it's Jo. I'm recording in my own right on a discussion topic. The one, you don't look blind, and the kind of preconceived ideas that people have to do with people who are visually impaired. And I'm sure it's not just visually impaired people. I have known of people in wheelchairs who have had that. Used to know a young lady who used to be taken out in her wheelchair by her dad, and his friends used to talk over her head and ask him about her and things like that, and never looked down even at her, which is just awful. I know there are preconceived ideas. I've never experienced... Yes, I have actually, and it was actually a friend who is visually impaired, and it was a kind of a compliment, I think. And she said to her friend, I'd met my friend and her parents for coffee, and when I'd gone, my friend told me that her mum had said, Jo can see a bit, can't she? And my friend said, no, not at all, she's got no sight anymore. And my mum said, well, you wouldn't think so, because she looks at you properly and everything. And I mean, it was a compliment, but, you know, I do try very hard to... I mean, we can't make proper eye contact, obviously, but, you know, but I do try hard to look where people are. And I find it absolutely mortified if I think somebody's somewhere and they've moved and not said anything, and I talk to mid-air, do you know what I mean? I'm very quick to I feel really silly. But I think people have preconceived ideas about dress code, and I think possibly that stems from, I think years and years ago, when people had children who were visually impaired and they were just, you know, forced to put them in institutions and specialist education. And, you know, I'm guessing that, I mean, in some cases, I know of a lady who spent all of her life in specialist education and then just went into a sort of sheltered environment after school. She'd never, because their parents lived too far away from the school, she couldn't go home even at half terms or term times because they couldn't afford to get a home. And the education authorities in those days, I mean, we are going back a lot of years, didn't, you know, help with things like that. So she basically stayed at the school all her life, which is just appalling, really. And I think the whole clothing thing, I think there is preconceived ideas that visually impaired people won't be able to match colours and won't be able to coordinate clothes, which is not the case at all. But I do know of people who don't, and who, you know, have no real perception of how to dress or what clothes to put together. And as a consequence, I've, you know, you see young people who look very old fashioned, you know, wearing the wrong things for them, for their shape, for their, you know, and it's a shame, really. And I think a lot of it stems from parents who haven't really helped their children enough, or haven't thought it was necessary, maybe, or have just, you know, I don't know what the reasons are, really. You know, I'm sure it's not done in a nasty way at all. Maybe years ago people thought that, you know, parents thought, well, it doesn't matter because they won't get a job, and, you know, parents weren't educated, I suppose, whereas today it's different. So I think there are preconceived ideas. There's the obvious one where people always thought that blind people rocked and waved their head around and things like that. And, you know, and I know there are people who do it. And, you know, for I think it's something to do with spatial awareness. I'm not sure. But I'm sure someone will correct me on that. There are preconceived ideas. I mean, there's the whole does he take sugar thing, or does she take sugar? I have experienced that. I used to be in an amateur dramatics group with my sister, and we used to, when we were practicing, rehearsing for a play, before we were actually at the stage where we were ready to go on stage, we were just learning our lines and practicing together. We'd meet at people's houses and we, you know, have a brew and go through the play, and until such time as we were ready to go on stage. And it was a lady who knew me quite well, an older lady, and my sister and I were sat on a settee and she was making brews and things, and she came up and she said to my sister, does she take sugar? And I was horrified, because I thought, flipping heck, you've known me for ages. Now, my sister was quite she wasn't a very strong personality at all, so she just let it go. But my mum would not have done that. My mum would have looked at me and gone, Joe, and let me answer, do you know what I mean? And she would have sort of said to them, look, ask her yourself, which Rob will do. But I find when I go in shops with Rob, even now sometimes, they will automatically look at Rob. If we go in together, you know, if you're paying, they'll automatically look at him to pay. Even if I hand them the money, they'll go to give Rob the change, and Rob will just, sometimes he'll turn away or he'll just look away. And he said that's the easiest way, rather than causing a scene, they're then forced to interact with me. But it is appalling that it still happens, you know, in this day and age, but it does. I mean, I'm quite lucky where I live in Teignmouth, because of the hotel, there's a lot of visually impaired people in Teignmouth and surrounding area. And so the shopkeepers, owners are very, most of them, not all, but most of them are very aware in Teignmouth, and they're very quick to help. You know, if I walk in on my own, they'll say, or even with Jodie, they'll say, would you like some help? And, you know, which is really nice. You know, it happens with all kinds of things, doesn't it? It happens with all kinds of disabilities. It happens with religion. I have had somebody say to myself and my mum, you're going back a lot of years, because my mum's died 13 years ago. But we actually had somebody say to us, you don't look like Catholics. Well, I'm sorry, but what does a Catholic look like? What do you expect them to look like? There's preconceived ideas, and people have funny ideas about all kinds of things. You know, I mean, quite frequently I'll say to Rob and Jodie, I'll say, for goodness sake, you know, it's my eyes that don't work. My brain's perfectly fine, thank you very much, you know. But I think we'll always have to fight this. I think we'll always have to educate, not fight really, but educate and be proactive and, you know, and kind of help with awareness and things like that. And I think it's really important. When we were talking about doing the Dinner in the Dark experience again, which we're going to do later in the year, and the head chef at the Salutation Inn, Tom, said, is it about raising money for the Wesk Foundation, or is it more about raising awareness? And we said, well, it's both really. But we were saying that it's very important to educate young people, because they then, you know, grow up knowledgeable about disability and awareness, and it helps. So the Dinner in the Dark experience will, you know, does raise awareness, and it will be open to the public this year and everything. But, you know, Jodie is obviously very aware, because she's been guiding me since she was about 3 or 4 years old. She's a cracking little guide, and she's brilliant at describing things, and you know, she really tries hard. And as a consequence of that, her friends know about, you know, blind people. Some of them are better than others, it has to be said. Some of her friends just take it in their stride, and they're just like, you know, they're brilliant. And other kids, they just don't know how to talk to you. Jodie has friends who come to our house and they do not know how to talk to me. And it's funny. I mean, it is quite funny. I don't find it offensive or anything. I find it amusing, really. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting discussion topic, and I hope people will join in and put their viewpoint across. You know, have you had any experiences where people have had preconceived ideas about you? Did you have some, you know, if you were partially sighted, because I was partially sighted first, did you expect when you came into contact with totally blind people, did you expect them to be a certain way, to dress a certain way, to behave a certain way? And, you know, we've discussed mannerisms and things like that, and I do know there are some associated with blindness. And I've said before that Rob is fully sighted, my husband, and he notices it in some people, you know. But he's brilliant. He's very, very he's very eager to help people. He's very quick to notice if people are struggling, and I'm very lucky. He's always happy to help. If we're up at the hotel or something and he sees someone struggling, he'll jump up and help them. And he's very, I was going to use the word tolerant, but that's not the right word at all. What's the word I'm looking for? He's observant, but he's not critical. He's not, you know, he would never kind of badmouth somebody or be critical about somebody because of the way they look or the way they act, because he knows that, you know, in a lot of cases it's because of lack of education, lack of help from parents and teachers, and sometimes people don't have a lot of sighted friends to help them to say, look, you know, actually I'm not being funny, but that's not, you know, you'd be better wearing this colour or this style, or, you know, not everybody has a sighted partner or sighted children or sighted parents or close friends that they can ask. And I think that is a shame, really, because I think that there is a vast spectrum, I think, in disability. And I think that can go from people who are very well educated about self-presentation, which is why it's brilliant to have Emily Fashionista doing the section for us, the VI front line 101. She's doing all the different scenarios, and she's also going to do Access to Mags later in the year, which will be brilliant because she's going to bring fashion and presentation, makeup, hair, everything like that, to the forefront for people who need it, and or just people who are interested, you know. And that is brilliant because I think it is lack of education. And I think parents, if you've got sighted parents, parents could do an awful lot more when they're bringing their children up, to give the children self-awareness. I was very lucky because my mum was, her main job was as a sewing machinist, but then she worked in a lot of shops. She worked for designer shops. She worked for Jaeger and Winsmore, which are quite high-end clothing retailers, and so she loved clothes, and she loved, you know, getting dressed up to go out and things like that, and being smart and wearing the right thing for the right occasion was very important to my mum. So she passed that on to me, and I also had two older sisters who you know, liked to dress well and were interested in fashion, and that helps, it really helps. So I think that is an advantage. You know, but I think if anybody's got any questions, you know, for Emily or anything like that, that she might be able to help with, or any of us really, you know, we'd all be happy to help. If you've got any questions about fashion, about presentation, put them up here. And I'm sure Emily would be only too happy to help and to give advice if she can and where she can. Because, you know, if we can do something to stop people having these preconceived ideas, you know, and then I think that will be brilliant. Yeah, anyway, I think I've rambled on for long enough. If anyone's listened this far, congratulations. Also, if you do listen to this before 8:30 tonight and you want to join in with our Skype chat, it's about all things travel, transport and holidays. So feel free to join in. You can find us VI Talk Podcast on Skype or phone in on 0161 298 8255. So this is being recorded on the 29th of May. So yes, if you listen to this on the 29th of May and you want to join in, then feel free. It starts at 8:30 and it will run from till 9:30. Okay, I speak to you all soon. Take care and thanks for listening to my rambles. Bye for now.